That year, Seelan and Kay studied for advanced levels together. On weekend mornings, they went to tuition classes for students in their year. Then they came home and had lunch at Kay's house or at ours and went to the Jaffna Public Library to continue. I wanted to go with them in the afternoons but could not bring myself to ask. Kay and I were studying the same four subjects, botany, zoology, chemistry and physics, and I too needed to prepare if I was to have any hope of entering medicine. Proud and shy, I sat on the veranda and watched them leave rather than saying anything. On the first day, Amma saw me observing them and laughed gently. After they left, she set me up at Appa's desk, and I studied alone, drinking the cups of sugary tea she brought me. "Here, Kunju," she said to me, setting a fresh one down. "You'll do as well as them." By the third weekend, I was buried in my notes and resigned to my exclusion. But something had changed for my brother. "Well, come on," Seelan said impatiently from the front steps that Saturday morning as I lingered on the veranda. I stared at him, confused. "Are you ready?" Kay asked. He had come to the gate and was waiting, I realized, for both of us. Kay grinned up at Seelan and then at an angle at me. The glare of the sun hid his eyes behind his spectacles. He took them off and wiped them. "Good luck with your studies," he had said. Perhaps he meant it. I was careful to keep Seelan between me and Kay. The walk was a hot, dusty 3/4 of an hour, long, without bicycles. But they had vowed to walk, and they kept their word. I found I didn't mind too much. The weekend commute to and from the library gave us a chance to stop and talk with people we knew, to talk to each other, to think over the questions that were beginning to form in our minds. At first, I just listened to the two of them talk and banter. "Did you hear that record? Can you believe what happened in Muthiah Master's class? Did you know the captain of the other school's cricket team? Thank goodness we get a fresh frog for each dissection." But then I began to ask questions. "What were the tuition classes like?" They talked about their teacher, a slightly older man who had just graduated from the university. They imitated him, laughing, gesturing at each other wildly, and lowering their brows as though they were giving great speeches. And I laughed too, but it was clear how much they respected and liked him. Whoever he was, he talked to them about politics in a way they wished their fathers and teachers would. They wanted to be taken seriously. Oh, how seriously I took Kay. I almost told him so. What kind of medicine did he want to do? "Cardiology," he explained. His slim, elegant fingers sketched the shape of a heart in the air. And mine leapt with interest. "And you?" he asked. "I want to be like my grandfather," I said, "helping anyone who needs it." "First, do no harm," I quoted. I said nothing about the ways in which my pata had bent and broken rules to aid his patients. Who knew what Kay would think of such a thing? He turned then to my brother. "What did Seelan want to do as an engineer?" My brother spoke of bridges, how they were constructed to keep us safe, how precarious they could be, the physics of keeping them aloft. Kay made him explain and explain again, and finally shook his head. "Some people think I'm clever, but I don't have a maths brain like yours, Machan," he said. Mathematics was not my brother's only talent. One morning, Seelan began to sing under his breath. And that was when I learned he had been listening to music at the house of another classmate. He hummed the same melody, Bob Marley's Redemption Song. So often I learned it too, and sang it back at him. Once, as I did, I turned to see Kay's eyes strained on me. He smiled and shrugged slightly. "You have a beautiful voice," he admitted, sounding surprised. Everything felt like music in that month of beautiful walks. During that time, I realized how little I had known my brother and how much I wanted to know his friend.